Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Elise Bennett is here. Elise is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, coming up on 16 years later this year that we'll celebrate her 16th anniversary as a founding member of our Brain Trust. She's the founder of Marketing Mentor. She's the author of several books on the topic of helping freelancers, including the Creative Professional's Guide to Money and also the Designer's Guide to Marketing and Pricing, also her book on Shy People, Stop Pushing Me Around, etc., etc. She's our good friend, Elise Bennett. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be here.
It's good to have you back, Elise, as always. I was telling the audience before you got here that there are probably millions, literally, not probably, there are millions of freelancers out there, and in lots of different categories. You know, a freelancer is someone that contributes, that plugs in and contributes to other people without being part of the org chart, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, more and more people are being laid off and then rehired back as a freelancer to do the work that they were doing because they're not replacing those people. I mean, it's really incredible what's going on.
The W-2 relationship is turning into a 1099 relationship, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So are you seeing more and more of that right now?
I am, absolutely. More and more of my new clients are people, many of whom are older, not young people,
right,
but older people who, you know, cost a lot of money to the corporations if they stay on. And so they're not exactly fired, but, you know.
Are they given early retirement and severance packages when this
exactly
happens?
Exactly.
But then they're brought back. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of people who are, it actually turns out to be a good thing for them, but there's also a lot of abuse going on out there, isn't there?
Absolutely. And if you don't know how to take advantage of the situation and turn it into a positive for yourself and, you know, build it into something, if you just take this little scrap that the corporation gave you and hope it's enough, then you're in trouble. But a lot of people are taking it, you know, as a making lemonade out of lemons, as they say. And, you know, a lot of them say, you know, I've always wanted to work for myself, so I guess this is a good time. And some are doing preparation in advance because they see the light that's coming at the end of the tunnel, and they know what it is. And other people are just ignoring it. And that's when you're in a bad situation.
Well, this is kind of what happened to me in 89. I was downsized the second time that decade on May the 29th at 8:30. In the morning on a Monday, 1989, not that I remember the exact moment or anything. And 5 minutes later, I said, you know what? I didn't say to myself, I'm going to become a freelancer. I just said, I'm going to start my own business. I'm not going to dust off my resume. That's when I said, you know, I don't need help screwing up my life. I could do that by myself. And I started my own business, but I didn't think of myself as a freelancer, but I really was in those days, starting out like that, going out, knocking on doors, getting business from small business CEOs, becoming a vice president you could rent. I was essentially a freelancer, wasn't I?
Absolutely. And, you know, as you're talking about it, I'm thinking freelancer is kind of, for some, a transitional stage in their own business. Most people, you know, start with an idea and then bring on other people and help it to grow. And other people really just want to be by themselves. Lots of virtual teams popping up these days, too. Lots of freelancers collaborating, kind of like in the movie business is the analogy. You know, people come together for a project and then disband and then come together for another project. But it's really there are lots of different ways to do it. That's what most people don't understand.
Right, and there's a way to make a living out of it, and I did it. I would say that I was a freelancer. I probably should call myself a freelancer for about 2 years because I worked from home for 2 years. Then I opened up an office downtown, and I didn't change. I always had a name for my company. I had a name of the Jim Blassingame and Associates is what I called it. But I really feel like when I opened up an office downtown in those days, now I'm talking about 91 or so. Those were different times than now. In those days, when I opened that office up, I really feel like my clients looked at me differently than when I was at home. I really feel like they thought, okay, he's no longer what they would have thought of. They didn't say freelancer, but he's no longer, I'm not thinking of him that way. I'm thinking of him, he now has a business that, and I think my business took off after that. So that was, I was answering your comment about transitioning.
And I think that it's still true that if you have an office, it definitely makes it more legit. But there is so much less of a stigma than there used to be about working from home.
That's right.
And part of it is because in the corporations, a lot of people are working from home, even when they're employed, and a lot of the CEOs stay home and work. And so it just really puts a different light on it. And with the technology, of course, that makes it all much more possible. And so it almost doesn't matter where you're working.
Well, in those days, I think it has more to do with where your customers are than where you are. In those days, all my customers were near me. And so I was working in my own home turf. In the work that I do now, none of my customers are here. They're all somewhere else. And so it doesn't matter where I am. If you're a freelancer and your customers are outside of your market area, then they're never going to come to your office or your house, probably. So
exactly. And so why
matter.
Have it? I have a client that I was talking to last week who has a couple of employees and has a nice office, and his lease is coming due, and he's trying to decide what to do.
Yep.
And he definitely needs to keep an office, but does he need a really nice office? Because nobody comes to it.
Exactly. So what do you think, as we wrap up this segment, what do you think is the future of freelancing? Is it going to get bigger? Are there going to be more and more? Is the nature of work in businesses going to be done more by freelancers than ever before, you think?
I do see that.
Yeah. Very interesting. This has been going on now, folks, for a long time. In fact, I talk about the history of all of this in my book, The Age of the Customer. You can find out more about that there. Quick break, 20 after, right back with our good friend Elise Benin. She's the founder of Marketing Mentor. Marketing-Mentor.com is her website. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.